Joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are theater professionals Katie Slattery and Andrew Hunter II, also members of the Riveters Theater Troupe, and they're here to talk about Hair, the American Tribal Love Rock Musical. Was that the original title?
That is the original title,
That is
yes.
The original title. The Riveters have been in Lafayette for how long now? When did you all form?
About 2 years ago, we started doing a production together, and we loved the energy we had, and so we decided to continue working together.
Right, and Andrew, have you been a member of the troupe since
I think of myself more
founding?
As like an extension of them right now, being part of the cast of Hair. I actually thought the Riveters were a band when I first heard the name.
And doesn't
when
that
I came
sound,
on,
doesn't it?
Yeah, I was like, you mean they do shows, and then remember some of the productions they had done. I'm just really happy to be joining these ladies for this one.
Absolutely. And it's been a while since Hair has been performed in Lafayette.
It has. It's been over a decade from what I understand. I did not see it the last time it was done here, but people tell me it was great.
Well, I remember bringing my six-year-old son to see the play, which is another conversation.
For sure.
He loved it. He just loved it. And I think that must have been almost 18 years ago when they put it on. It was a very interesting, exciting time to be in theater at UL,
absolutely,
as it was when you all were students here. You're both alums from the university and have obviously gone on to continue doing great things in theater in the community. And you've stayed in the community as well,
absolutely,
which is an amazing thing.
It's a great place to call home.
Yeah. Well, tell us just a bit about that. I mean, staying, I think a lot of people have this idea that you graduate in theater and you go off to the bright light somewhere, West Coast, East Coast. What, I mean, and of course, there are all kinds of extenuating circumstances, I'm sure, for each of you why you stayed. But what is it about theater in a community like Lafayette that allows you any kind of artistic inspiration? What?
Well, you know, one thing I love about working in Lafayette is that they're so welcoming. The theater community and the arts community in general is so welcoming to artists and inclusive. And, you know, being graduates of the university, we've been welcomed back as alumni to rehearse in McLaurin Gym and then in Fletcher and now coming back to Burke to perform. It's just really amazing to be so welcomed as artists.
And Andrew?
It's also really great to have so many great artists. You know, you go off to the big city and the bright lights trying to either become a triple threat or compete against triple threats. And I think in Lafayette, at least, everybody is a triple threat. Everybody plays an instrument.
Can you define that, what you mean by that triple threat?
Acting, dancing, and singing.
On all platforms. You're multi-talented.
Yeah. And here, I mean, if somebody doesn't play an instrument, God, I mean, they're going to pick up spoons in a second and still have good rhythm. The acting quality for Lafayette has always been really high, from, you know, classical works like Shakespeare to classical works like Hair. And we're just not afraid to tackle them and come together as a community and bring good theater to the stage.
I think that's really the working phrase there. You're not afraid.
Absolutely.
I have been struck by the fearlessness of theater groups in Lafayette in the past few years. I mean, for decades now, but really in the past few years, fearless about trying experimental theater, as well as classical, thinking nothing of switching back and forth between genres and, as you said, being a triple threat.
Yeah, it's been really, really amazing working in Lafayette.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Hair then. You have to be fearless, don't you?
Absolutely fearless. It is quite ambitious, and it is a production that I personally have wanted to direct for over a decade now. And the past couple of years, I just said, you know, let's make this dream a reality, and I was fortunate enough to be surrounded by a production team and then bringing in the actors who also could see the vision that I had and trust me to bring it forward to the stage. It's been absolutely incredible.
Well, and when you say fearless on many levels. There are a lot of things going on with Hair. I think there may be many people in our audience, actually, who have not encountered either the movie, the play. They may know and have some image of somebody with big hair.
Right. But that's a small portion of it.
Right. So could you kind of take us back and give a little history of the musical?
Sure. It was originally written and produced in the 1960s in direct response to the Vietnam War and the social movement surrounding that, the hippie anti-war movement and the sexual liberation, civil rights movement, women's rights. It's known as a protest play. And a lot of the songs have become anthems for anti-war movements. And it would be great to say that this is a play that's only relevant to the 1960s. But with everything going on in Syria and North Korea right now, it is absolutely relevant to the time period right now. So that's kind of the context surrounding it. And I will say a disclaimer that nudity is a part of this production. So the audience should be aware of that. It is essential to the dramatic action of the show as it responds to vulnerability, sexual liberation, and our dependence on material possessions. So people should be aware of that.
Well, and as I recall 18 years or so ago, it was as well. So,
right.
I mean, obviously, this area has been fearless for a while. So it's
absolutely.
Well, and that's kind of interesting when you talk about so many elements of social change that it was trying to address. And Andrew, do you remember your first encounter with the production? Have you seen the movie, seen it performed?
I do.
What was your response?
I was studying music here at UL, left out of the music building and saw the flyer, went down to Cafe 101, if that gives a little of my age. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the cast were hanging out there and they were talking about it. I was friends with several of them. But I think the next weekend, as it closed, I missed it as well. So I didn't get to see the production that was here, but knew after the fact that I had just missed this moment in theater that really hasn't happened quite again with a show bringing together, you know, such a large cast, doing a show that's not only so topical and relevant, but so classic in the themes and in the message. We like to tell good stories, and this one's never... It's never going to die.
That's so interesting because, yes, I mean, it's been, what, 50 years probably since it opened, and it is still completely relevant. So you were attracted to this play for quite a while. How did you start gathering your group together? Tell us about the Riveters, the people who were in it, the people that you needed to produce this play, which is huge.
Oh, yes, it's huge. I knew immediately that I needed an amazing lighting designer, costumer, vocal director, and band. And so I started talking to the best people in the area, in my opinion. Yeah. And we got Gina Barone to do our lighting and costume, which has been a tremendous feat for her, and she's doing great. And then Whitney Willis is doing the choreography. Adam Truard is leading the band, and Stacey Broussard is doing the vocal direction.
That's an astonishing group of talent that you have going there.
Absolutely. And I will say none of this could be done without our stage manager, Kelsey Lacoste. She is the woman who keeps us on track, and she is just the best that there is.
All of us on track.
Yes.
Well, I know that in addition to big hair, people think about the costume, so that's got to be right also. And, of course, people have lots of different notions about what it's like back then. Tell us just a bit about that, how she went about choosing the costumes. Did the actors have some input into the costuming?
A little bit. Gina came in with a huge portfolio of all the research she's done from the time period. And she said, okay, this is the style we're looking for. Now, what do you have in your closets that is relevant to this style? And so for the most part, it's authentic to the time period. Now there is a section where there's a drug-induced scene where she was able to have an awful lot of fun with her costuming.
Yes, she did too.
She got to transcend the boundaries of time there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, it is a musical, and some people may know some of the music, even if they're not aware that it's a part of Hair. Mm-hmm. Talk about the music a bit. Do you sing in the play, Andrew?
Absolutely.
Yes. What's your character's name?
Hud is one of the hippies, you know, kind of a close member of the tribe, along with Berger and Wolf and Claude and... these four guys, along with Sheila and Jeannie and a couple other females, just kind of are the main pack, and the main story revolves around them. Hud, he's a lover and a soul brother of the revolution. He kind of represents, I guess, what would be the civil rights of the moment, real outspoken. And in his songs, the solo stuff is a lot of fun, but I get to sing the bottom part in the trio stuff and in a lot of the group stuff. And it's just nice being supportive down, you know, on the bass part with Rick Rowan, I'll throw out there, and Lindsay and Rue, who are also singing bottom parts with me. It's a challenge, you know, singing for 2 hours. And I think we live up to it really well, but we've definitely been tested.
Well, in addition to just the sheer physical challenge of it, those are very moving songs, as I remember. That must be challenging as well.
Let the Sunshine In is the closer, and it's emotional every night. For a while, we would make jokes, you know, just to not get close to the emotion in the beginning. But now, that one, along with the opener, Aquarius, I had somebody ask me, are you guys going to do that song, Give Me Head With Hair? And I was like, you mean hair? Like, the title track of the show? Absolutely. And it was a good question, just because there are so many in the different variations that Katie's allowed us to look at. The original cast, the revamped cast, the movie, she's taken bits and pieces and I think made her own collage, you know, because every show has certain songs that are cut. But we, if you know it, then it's, we have it in there.
We've got the main.
The only cuts were like unknowns from earlier versions, but all the classics are there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's I didn't know that some productions cut some of the songs. Are there some that are more often cut than others?
Yes. Well, in my research, you know, I started out reading the original Broadway cast script. And so I read it and I understood it. And then I get the revised script and it is completely different with, I mean, it was revised almost every year. Several revisions were made and it was to keep up with the times. You know, some scenes were no longer relevant. Mm-hmm. So they were modified and changed.
They were just too specific to the time.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Or some of them were just too intense for an audience to handle. For example, there in the original script, there is a rape scene. Staged, of course, and then that has been cut, but it's been replaced with something a little less intense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, just things like that, they've been changed and revised to make
it
applicable.
So when you talk about the original script, you can no longer use that in a stage production? Is that how it happens, or...?
Whenever you get the rights, they send you the current script. But I'm thankful that I did research with the original script because I can see why things have been changed and what about it is and is not relevant, and also the meaning of that moment and how intense that moment needs to be.
Right, that the things that are still universal that they retain in that play, even though it has the clothing, the trappings,
exactly.
The hairstyles of that time as well. Well, let's go through the cast. You did mention some of the names of the characters.
Absolutely.
Let's kind of attach those to some of the actors and actresses.
Okay, sure. I hope I don't forget anybody. Help keep me on track.
Right.
Allison Barron is playing Sheila Franklin. And Allison is also a graduate of the university, and she went to New Orleans and has done a lot of work. She got her master's in arts administration. Now she's coming back. She is phenomenal. Very excited to have her. Blaine Peltier is playing Burger. Andrew Hunter is playing Hud. Billy Walker is playing Claude. Help me out. Maddie Hartman's playing Jeannie.
Andre Guillory is playing Wolf.
Wolf.
Sasha Macy is one of the lead vocalists and soloists on Aquarius, that humongous voice that everybody's going to come and expect to hear. She is going to bring to the fullest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Rick Rowan is also part of the tribe.
Playing Lindsay. Margaret Mead.
Oh, and Margaret Mead, yes. Let me see. Lindsay Unra.
Yes.
Hannah Gilley.
Nathaniel
Trahan. Oh my gosh, they're going to kill me.
It's going to come
Katie
around.
Katie Butcher. I mean, there's so many people. And it's exciting because there's a lot of people who are making their stage debuts in this production.
Emily
Thibodeau.
Thibodeau.
Mm-hmm.
Katie Briggs.
So nearly 20 people are going to be on stage at various points. And many of them you mentioned are alums of UL.
Yes.
Who, some like yourself, have gone on to become professional theater people. And others are coming back to this.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. This has been an amazing homecoming. I haven't been on Burke stage since it was rebuilt. And to have had my first lead role, my first stage experience at all, really, here back in the day, and to come back now, they've been really welcoming, and the space is just as warm as it ever was. But
well, let's talk about that space just a bit, because, and I want to tell people just for a moment in case they're tuning in, we are talking about Hair, the American Tribal Love Rock Musical, which is being produced and performed by my guests and many others, Andrew Hunter II and Katie Slattery. They're a part of the Riveters Theater Troupe, and it's been nearly 2 decades since Hair has been produced in Lafayette, and it will be at Burke Hawthorne Hall Theater opening on Thursday evening. So let's talk about that little theater, because I love it so much, and I just, every time there's something happens there, I try to encourage people to experience that space. Talk talk about that. Both of you have performed both as students, and now you're coming back professionally to work in that space. It was done in the 30s, but it's just a great space.
Well, the revamp of it feels as modern as any new theater would. You know, it has all of the new lights and all of the new gadgets, you know, working backstage. To have been on it as a student, I remember the floor was dropped, so you look down on the audience, and now with the whole arena seating, you know, I think the audience might span a height of like 20 feet up. It's incredible to be down there and kind of have it feel Greek in a sense, you know, very amphitheater. And it feels like home still, you know, it's really transformed, but it's beautiful.
Yeah, and just the details of the wood, the wooden floor, the old sense of the curtains and everything. It's just that lovely. They built it well.
They really did, and it is really nice to be back because for so many of us, it is home. Mm-hmm. We spend so much of our time there, and it's just really wonderful to come back and perform again.
But it is a challenge for a large production like Hair.
It is.
And how do you work in that space? What has it been like?
Well, we've been fortunate enough to have experiences in this space, and Whitney Willis, she has worked in that space before as well. Mm-hmm. So when she designed the choreography, she had the space in mind. And the same thing is true for me with the staging. We knew what we were working with, and we knew how things needed to move in order to make the best show possible.
Mm-hmm. Katie also has this really great directorial approach with the production of leaving the back walls kind of exposed and not bringing in, you know, every curtain. Some of the curtains are there, some of them are gone, but exposure being a theme throughout the show, she does well with the set and with the stage, and kind of lets you peek behind the scenes at what we're doing, you know, as it's happening.
And as I recall, just from the movie, there was a sense of rawness as well, that, you know, there were those edges of society that, yes, they're all trying to expose and show that people were coming from all walks of life.
Absolutely.
And so that's an interesting touch that you're using in there.
And not only that, but you look at the old generation and the new generation. Mm-hmm. And so through the design, we're able to see past performances, you know, little signatures on the brick, and to see that things are, the past has affected the present.
Right, right. And just thinking of the generations who performed in that space before the 60s.
Correct.
And,
yes, indeed.
You know, with all their own hopes and dreams and social issues that I'm sure they brought to bear as well on those performances. So Hair, the American tribal love rock musical. Did you find your sense of that time period changing as you performed in this? I mean, we all know a bit about it, but to really feel it, this is not a history book. This is something different.
Right.
How has your sense of that time period changed or evolved, Andrew, or deepened maybe?
The option, especially as a man, to go to war or not for our generation is a blessing. And they didn't have that option. I've always had relatives that were affected by it and that you saw suffer the consequences. But even more recently, having a brother, you know, ship off to Iraq and come back, I know firsthand how it changes a person. And to look at an entire generation of people that didn't have the choice to go through that transformation or not, my brother and others like him that chose to go and fight for us now, it's a great choice. And I respect every single one of them for making it. Nothing but love for anybody that has that in their heart. As an artist and, you know, as an actor, not only in the play, but to look back on what side of the fence I personally would have been on and probably still am, it's nice to just have a choice now and not have to worry about running. But
that's interesting that you bring that up about that, because there is both comedy in that play and intense, cold recognition of how different a time period it was.
Absolutely.
And that there is a gratefulness for certain changes
for sure.
In our society. But yeah, the interesting range of emotions that Hair brings up in people. I'm glad you brought that one up. Is there anything, Katie, for you directing this play, your sense of that time period and maybe what you hadn't thought about? Or
yes, it was really interesting for me. Over the past few years, researching the time period and the culture, you know, we grow up and we think, oh, we know the Vietnam War, we know everything about it. And then as I research it, there's so much I didn't know, so much about the response to our soldiers who came back and how they were treated poorly. And that's one thing that really hit me hard, because I see how soldiers are treated now in the airports and they are welcomed with applause. And that wasn't the case for Vietnam. And so as part of our mission with this production, is part of our proceeds are going to go to one of our VFWs just as a way to say thank you. You know, mm-hmm. our generation now acknowledges the sacrifice that you made, and we want to give back in any way we can.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm fascinated to hear you say these things, because many people who think of hair will remember just, again, the wild costumes, the exuberant dancing. But these are very serious social issues that you're bringing up that,
absolutely.
As you've worked with the play, you've really lived.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Very serious.
Race and religion and sex and love and drugs and happiness are mm-hmm. all there, but there's an opposite to each of those, mm-hmm. you know, and you can discover them for yourself if you come and see the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which opens this Thursday.
This Thursday. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it.
It runs for 2 weekends?
2 weekends, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this weekend and next. At 7:30 p.m.
How do people get tickets? That's changed over time
sure.
with Burke Theater. How do they?
They can get tickets in advance by going to Eventbrite and searching Hair. And then Hair, the American Tribal Love Rock Musical, will come up. And you can purchase your tickets in advance. Or you can call Sarah Hitchcock, who's our business manager, at 337-207-2631. And you can reserve your tickets to be picked up at the door.
All right. Now, can you wait and get your tickets at the door? Is that probably not a great idea?
You can, but we've already had a lot of sales so mm-hmm. far. So mm-hmm. I would strongly recommend at least reserving them and paying for them at the door. And I will say the tickets are $15, and UL students and U.S. veterans get a discount. So it'll be $10 for them.
Okay, but you really should call ahead,
definitely.
Reserve your tickets. In talking about the theater, we didn't mention that there's less than 200 seats in there, which makes it very intimate, very intense. But for this play, you should reserve your tickets
absolutely.
Ahead of time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we are talking about the Riveters Theater Troupe performing, producing Hair, the American Tribal Love Rock Musical. My guests, both theater professionals in our community, Katie Slattery and Andrew Hunter II, alums from the UL program here, and many of the performers in Hair are also UL alums as well.
Yes.
And has any of your family come to see any of the rehearsals, Andrew?
My son came to rehearsal in the beginning.
How old is he?
He's 13 now. Mm-hmm. If you remember when I was here for Shotgun, he actually helped me rehearse a lot for that play mm-hmm. and decided that with Hair, he would rather have himself surprised. So he has not attended rehearsal. He's mm-hmm. chosen to mm-hmm. opt out. There have been moments where he hears about it afterwards and is like, oh, man, I missed that.
Mm.
But he's going to come and he's going to be in the house and he's going to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Does he show interest in acting? Theater?
We've been on stage together. His primary art is music, but he does. He's going to be a triple threat.
I'm glad I learned that phrase.
Yeah.
And Katie, you're not acting in the play. You're just directing.
Just directing.
Okay.
It's a big enough job.
Absolutely. With all of, again, almost 20 people performing, there's dancing, there's singing, there's all kinds of things going on in this musical. Do you have a Facebook page that people can go to? Do you have photographs?
It's the Riveters, mm-hmm. R-I-V-E-T-E-R-S. Okay. And we've got pictures and all the updates you need. And that's a great way to stay in touch with what's happening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, now tell us just a bit about some of the dance pieces. I remember that very clearly from some other performances I see. You mentioned your choreographer. Mm-hmm. Are you in a lot of these dance scenes, Andrew?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My toes and my knees are aching even as you say it. I love Whitney to death. And she has worked her butt off for mm-hmm. us to look really, really good for you guys. Everybody in the cast is feeling it. The guys are all doing, you know, extra push-ups and sit-ups, and the girls are all stretching out.
I remember
out
it being
and,
very athletic.
Very, yeah. very. Mm-hmm. People don't think of dancers and actors as having to be athletes, but they are.
Yes.
She comes in with a relentless correction mode, which is, again, okay, let's try it again. She answers, you know, all of our questions. There's a ton of choreography, so there are a lot of questions. And if you're out there listening, Whitney, thank you for answering every single one of them. But she's gotten us ready.
Yeah.
And she is a genius, I will say. Mm-hmm. Like, I give her, like, my idea of, like, here's what's going on in the show, and this is why this song is important to the show. Mm-hmm. And she comes in with things that just blow my mind. It's really exciting.
Well, what are some of the biggest numbers? You did mention Age of Aquarius, Let the Sunshine In.
With a huge dance number. One of the more fun, challenging pieces for all of us is Going Down, which I'll just say has a really wonderful chair sequence. but it's been a challenge. Let the Sunshine In is is more of a free dance, you know, party scene. But even the way that she's choreographed us free dancing has just been spectacular. So that there are no elbows, you know, or fists.
Especially in that space where you are.
You have to keep it really tight.
The opening of Act Two, Electric Blues, that's a big one.
Electric Blues is beautiful. And there are moments where she even, you know, via the direction of Katie, has us out, you know, in the audience dancing with them. So come with your dancing shoes on. There might be a chance for you to just get pulled up and brought into our world.
We'll look forward to that. And what is your personal favorite song that you participate in?
Frank Mills is one of my favorites. I don't participate in it. I'm actually just a bystander. But Katie...
What?
Is it Katie Briggs?
Oh, Katie Briggs,
that
yes.
sings it. Yeah, the soloist on that song has a beautiful voice, and it's just a really intimate moment with her and the band.
And what is that song about?
It is about our desperate search and the disappearance of those we love.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Well, yeah. I can feel the emotion in your voice, and definitely so much emotion in so many of these songs. And if people would like more information about Hair, if they've never seen it, certainly lots of information on the web, lots written about it.
Oh, yes.
Of course, there's always the movie, but I would suggest seeing the play beforehand.
Yes. And the movie, I will say, is much different than the stage version. The ending is completely different, although the theme is the same.
Right.
But the
obviously
plot
a different medium.
Different.
Yes. And so much more you can do on stage, really, actually.
It surprised me how different they were, because the movie is very nuts and bolts, and the stage just, it goes to Mars and back, you know. And, you know, when you're in Mars for a second, you either like it, or it's kind of like, oh, it's too much red.
So really much more experimental on stage.
It is.
Much more creative. Mm-hmm.
A lot of plays are very plot-driven or character-driven, and this one is very much driven by the theme and by the spectacle. So that's what we're going with.
Yeah.
All right. And that's what we hope we all get to experience. But the stage, the theater is small, very intimate. You should reserve your tickets. And again, give us ways how we can do that, Kate.
You can do that through Eventbrite. EventBrite.com, and just search Hair. It'll go to the events in your area, and Hair, the American Tribal Love Rock Musical, will come up. Or you can call Sarah Hitchcock, our business manager, at 337-207-2631.
Okay, and check out the Facebook page as well for photographs and images of what they've been doing lately.
Yes.
Anything else we need to know about the play?
About the play? No, just that it's really fun. I do want to mention that we are hosting a symposium today at Burke Theater led by Dr. Patrick Slattery of Texas A&M University. And he's coming in from 4 o'clock until 8 o'clock this evening. And he's going to be discussing the social and cultural relevance of not only the Vietnam War, but also how the arts are used to promote social change. And from 4 to 5, we'll be watching the video Maya Lin, A Strong and Clear Vision, which is about the Vietnam Memorial. And then he'll be giving a lecture, and we will have a panel of people who have been through that time period, veterans and social activists coming to speak to us from 6 to 7. And then at 7 o'clock, we will have an open community discussion for any questions that people might have, or if they want to meet us in person, and just if they have those questions before they see the show, this would be the time to do it.
So from 4 to 8 this evening in Burkhorthorne Hall, should they go to the theater?
They can go right on into the theater. They'll get a sneak peek of our set. And if you can't make it right at 4, that's okay. If you have to leave early, that's okay too. Just come and go as you need. We're happy to have you. This is a free event, and it's something that we're doing to a teach-in, if you will.
A teach-in. Excellent. And is the cast involved in the evening?
Some of us will be there. And mentioning the cast, Skip and Cheryl, we didn't want to leave you guys out. I was thinking the entire time about names.
I could see you counting on your fingers.
So we got you guys in there. Love you guys. You'll see us there.
Okay, that's tonight from 4 to 8. It's free. It's a symposium conducted by Dr. Patrick Slattery about Hair and its cultural relevance in today's society. Hair, the American Tribal Love Rock Musical, opens on Thursday in Burkhorthorne Hall Theater. My guest, Katie Slattery, is the director. Andrew Hunter II is in the play, as are other nearly 20 other people. And it's an amazing happening here in our community. Hopefully everyone will get an opportunity to see it. Thank you both.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bian.